There are so many internet radio shows out there these days.
Hey, I'm Skip McKay. Are you tired of being alone on Saturday night? Yeah, me too. So this show, we're going to tell you how to do your own home chest waxing. Oh, man.
Hello, I am your host, Bartholomew James. We are here in the forest. Listen to the sound of the red-crested whippoorwill. Oh my, isn't that a cougar paw print? It is a cougar paw print. Someone help me. Okay, send some help. Help.
After you've heard the rest, then step into the Roni Zone. Let's touch on a couple of things about the Harvest Crusade. Did you feel peer pressure to go down front? Was it a head thing? Was it a heart thing? What really triggered that?
That's a good question.
What's interesting is Scope Trial said, let's teach both. But now we're back on the flip side to where we started from. No, we can only teach evolution. I don't think that's fair.
Now, weapons of mass destruction. We didn't find any. Let's talk about that.
Sure.
What are your feelings about that?
When I was in Iraq, we would go into a village or town, and we would confiscate or go into these Iraqi strongholds that were there that were now emptied or deserted or blown up. And we would go through and ravage, and we would pull out of there artillery and canister after canister of biological and chemical agents.
Roni's Own Radio, a very, very, very different podcast.
Roni's Own Radio.
Step into the zone today. Hi, everybody. This is Jeff Roni, and welcome to Roni's Own Radio. This time we're going to be talking about finding God in Star Wars. And he is there, I promise. This is the first part of a conversation. Actually, it's called a dinner view I had with Kim Barr, a co-worker of mine. And we talk about all kinds of things. And this segment, we're going to be talking about finding God in Star Wars. We're going to take a look at E.T., the movie, and we're also going to take a look at a movie called Pay It Forward. Very interesting conversation, to say the least. We get very deep, very quick, so buckle up. It should be a very interesting conversation. I hope you enjoy the song and finding God in Star Wars.
Welcome, everybody, again to Roni's Own Radio. We're doing something we've never done before, which is, there's probably a lot of things we've never done before. This is a dinner view. Now, it's part dinner, part interview, thus dinner view. This is Kimberly Barr.
Hello.
She is one of my co-workers here, a company I work for in my daytime hours. So tonight we're going to be talking about finding God in Star Wars and other stuff. So we have swing music playing overhead. We have a crowd over here talking. So again, we'll see how well this turns out. The first thing I want to talk about is kind of a general subject, because if you start looking for God in Star Wars, some people that say, okay, Jeff, they're just escapist fare. They are just movies just to go see. Just leave it alone. Leave the God stuff alone. But I think it's important to look at films deeper in a thematic way. That's exactly how Lucas wrote the film. And also I think there are films that can speak to different parts of our life, different experiences that we have in a deeper level than just a story, special effects, etc. I want to talk briefly about the church per se and how they've embraced or not embraced film. And the church originally would push away whatever they felt was dangerous. See, there they go. Whatever they felt was dangerous, which was music, movies, stockings that women would wear. Whatever it was, they would push away because it was worldly. With films, the church chose to run away from there. There's many churches that have said, you know, we don't see movies, we don't want our kids to see movies, and so therefore, movies are evil, TV is evil, rock and roll music is evil, roller skating is evil, so we're going to stay away from those things. And because of that, Hollywood and others have taken over the film genre. They've taken over film studios, they've taken over the creative spots in movies, and so now we are left to pick up the pieces of that leaving of films. So we'll talk a little bit later about the Christian role or religious people's role in films. So we're going back into the realm of looking into films and seeing if there are any type of biblical themes, Christian themes, God, etc. We're going to talk about Star Wars. Let's start there. Star Wars, 6 films, an arc of a story. Kim, what are your thoughts, just right at the top of your head? Biblical themes, God in Star Wars.
I think it's a great story for redemption. If you even just think of, look at the character of Anakin. Absolutely, I can see he had a fall, and at the end, at the very end, you see his redemption through his son.
Let's really look at the basis of what Lucas wrote. Lucas pulled from every type of genre there were, even if it was, or the hero with a thousand faces, Joseph Campbell's books. He borrowed from every type of story there were. He borrowed from the Bible and from other stories and pulled in this, what I would consider a story that strikes a chord with most people. And there are themes that he's hit on that are even in the Bible. You have villains in the Bible. You have heroes in the Bible.
Black pepper?
A little bit. Thank you. My salad is here. It's fun, isn't it? It doesn't matter if it's not fun. Anyway, so that's the edge that we're taking. For instance, Luke and the Death Star flying, conquering this Death Star. He is by himself. We could say, well, that's a David and Goliath story. When David faces Goliath, has nothing but these stones to slay this giant. And it says in the Bible that he could not have done it unless God gave him the power, especially when he cut off Goliath's head. And when Luke is flying down the Death Star trench, he hears Obi-Wan use the Force. So he shuts off his targeting computer and he uses the Force. Now, there were a lot of books written in the late 70s about Jesus is the Force, the Holy Spirit is the Force, God is the Force, all these things. Okay. But I see Luke in the trench, another David and Goliath type of story. Now, let's talk about the good side of the Force. The good side of the Force empowers someone to lift something, to save people, to be victorious over something. The dark side of the Force is the good side of the Force you use in defense, not attack.
Yeah, never in defense and never in a sign of pride or never as a sign of offense.
Right. And but the dark side of the Force you would use in passion, anger, destruction.
Emotion. Right.
So, and it's interesting that the dark side of the Force, people that live in that arena, all died.
That is very interesting.
Now, it took a while for Palpatine to die, but they all were destroyed. None of them crossed over as Qui-Gon found to be in the living Force, I think they call it, and to communicate with those that are still living, etc., etc. They all died, ended, period. And the good side of the Force, they found that they could have, and I believe Lucas referred to it as eternal life. Now, Episode 3. I think the part that really struck me was the Palpatine Anakin scene and the...
No, I'm good. Water's fine.
See, we're live at dinner, folks. Dinner. I'm getting a little water. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
So the Palpatine Anakin scene in the theater was very reminiscent of in the garden when the serpent was talking to Eve and how he spun the doubt factor in Eve's heart. Did God really say, don't eat of the fruit? Are you sure? Are you positive that's what he said? because that was his goal. Get her to mistrust and doubt what God said.
He just doesn't want you to eat that because then he knows that you're going to be like him.
Right. And see, that's exactly the tact that Palpatine took.
Right.
You will be more powerful than they're afraid of you, and that's why they're keeping you down. I'm done. Thank you. So, that was his tact. It's somewhat reminiscent of Satan and Jesus in the desert, but it's more reminiscent, I think, of the serpent and Eve. It's the whole kind of chipping away at what God told her. And it is interesting that once Eve repeated back to Satan was actually a misrepresentation of what God said.
Right.
Because God only said, don't eat of it. But she said, God told me not to touch the fruit.
Right.
So she was not even clear of what he said. Either that or she was, and she actually spun it way out of context. But if you watch that whole section of the film, it's very haunting the way that at the beginning you trust the Jedi, but as you listen to Palpatine's talk, it sounds very much, very almost true. There's bits of truth, and that's just how the devil works, according to Scripture, is that he has bits of truth and begins to weave that in such a way that it bends you away from what the truth is, and you say, well, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Maybe I don't have to bow my knee to God. Maybe I don't have to submit to God to get to heaven. I also think it's very interesting, if you read the Bible, that God will give a way of escape to those who are being tempted. And Anakin had many opportunities to turn, many opportunities. His wife, who he supposedly loved, told him, stop this. Don't do this. Leave. I mean, she... multiple times. Also, you know, Obi-Wan warned him, be careful of this guy. Be careful. Warning after warning after warning after warning. And he wouldn't listen to any of it. And so finally, everybody let him go. Go ahead then.
Right.
Have it. Take it.
And then at what point in the mind does it become any sort of logical that when you kill children,
right,
you know, how does that get translated then? You know, in that regard, because...
But see,
I know that
mind,
was an order, but
your mind
is clouded as you take
those steps.
You are. And how many times does a rational man in today do the same thing with any sort of temptation that comes his way? It's the same thing. How does rational thought become something that when you think about outside of it, how could I have done that?
And I don't want to say this right here. I mean, the comments that we're making, I am not perfect.
Uh-uh.
I struggle every single day.
Absolutely.
I make mistakes. I blow it. And I know what it's like to be in the middle of something and have somebody say, are you sure you should be? What's wrong with you?
And then feel justified.
And you click. And you, right. You feel at that point, whatever it is, you feel right about the attitude, what you're saying, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes a good friend to say, are you sure you know what you're doing?
It does.
And then you realize, no, what am I doing? You see, it's that path.
Yeah.
That path that Anakin took. It's very interesting to watch the Palpatine to come along. Another film, reminiscent of Devil's Advocate. Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, okay. We're all just sinners saved.
Darth Vader's redemption. Actually, Darth Vader's repentance. We've touched on it before. And this comes our dinner. Oh. For the listeners, the presentation and smell of this steak is phenomenal.
As well as the tomato mozzarella salad.
Right, see? No, Vader had a repentant situation. Repentance is twofold. You feel sorry for what you've done. And there's also a physical turning away from what you're doing. So, a lot of people, you know, there's a scripture that says that tears are part of repentance, and that's true. There is a feeling sorry for what you've done. But there's also a turning away, a leaving behind.
And a physical display of that.
Right. So there's a two-part to repentance. And Vader repented because he realized that he could, and he struggled with it when he was talking to Luke, because Luke kept affirming him, saying, "I know there's good in you. I know that you're struggling." He said, "No, there's no conflict. I know there's conflict. No, there's no." But actually, there was.
Right.
And that seed of hope Vader had, he began to realize when Palpatine turned on Luke, that father instinct and that old good life that he had a part of really began to take shape. And then when he threw Palpatine or left that old life behind, whatever that is, that was his repentance. And I really think it's a beautiful thing. That last scene really, it was incredible to me, mm-hmm. is to see a son who brought his father back from probably the worst depths of despair and murder and death and destruction.
It was the one reason why I loved episode 3 so much, because I had friends come to me and ask me, "Well, what did you think about that?" And especially ones who, for whatever reason, had never watched the other 3 before, but they will now, I'm sure. Regardless, I told them the reason why I loved it was because of that. When I saw him...
Very good.
Great, thank you. When I saw him at the end, and even with Padme and when she died, and when even very end when the kids are going on, I'm like, but this isn't it, because he redeems himself at the end. It's not just Vader. You know, if it was just Vader, then there would be no hope. But because I knew that at the back of my head, you know, and had that very last image with him throwing Palpatine over, I knew that, especially when Yoda was saying, "Well, misread the prophecy we may have," you know, I'm like, "Well, no, you didn't. It's just going to happen in a different fashion than what you would have expected." Because he still completes it. It's just a little around the way.
We also know that the dark side of the Force, Yoda said, is a quick and easy path. And in the Bible it says that wide is the way to destruction, but...
Narrow is the way.
Right, that's it. It's narrow is the way to God, and wide is the way to destruction.
Right.
Okay. The pathway to becoming a Jedi is slightly like the steps to spiritual maturity. First of all, I want to say that we're not talking about levitating objects, okay? I know there's Jedi religious people that are listening to this show and saying, "Jeff, I learned how to levitate a chair yesterday. You can do it with the Force." And I'm saying, no, not in my frame of reference, my brother. When Luke was faced with Obi-Wan, asked him, "Do you want to come with me to Alderaan?" All that. Luke said, "No, I have things to do here." And that's a lot of times when God moves on our heart to make steps to Him. A lot of times we say, "Not now. I'm busy. I got too many things to do. There's a cute girl at the office. Come on, God, not right now. Leave me alone."
Right, right.
But then there is a time, hopefully, where you say, "There's nothing for me here now. I have nothing here in this life I'm living. I cannot stay here. I want to move with you. I want to follow God." So he turns from his old life and leaves to go off on this adventure. Then he takes the next step. He says, "I want to learn the ways of the Force. I want to follow you. I want to learn what I need to learn." And then there's a commitment that he makes to the Force. There's also a commitment that we make to God to follow Him. But it's a conscious decision. It's not a decision made out of forcing that you are made to feel bad, but it is a conscious decision that you make. You're not born into it. You can't join a club, but you have to make a conscious decision. "God, I'm going to follow you," the same way that Obi-Wan did not push him. Because remember, he said, "You must do what you feel is right." So, at the original point, Luke didn't feel right about it. But the second time, he said, "I want to go now. I'm going to follow the ways of Force and become a Jedi like my father." Yoda said something very interesting. He said, "Unlearn what you have learned." And that's probably the biggest step when you become saved, become a Christian, is that you have to unlearn those things that you knew before. It could be how to whatever. But you need to unlearn those things, because that was the old life. That was the old way. That was the old way that you did whatever you did. Then we have, during the path to the Jedi, we have tests and we have trials. And one of the tests is the tree cave. And there are points in the path to spiritual maturity. And I want to say this, is that does it make you better than anybody else? And we're not talking about elitists here. We're talking about when you are a new Christian, you are what's called a babe in Christ. You are brand new.
Right.
A baby doesn't know how to walk.
Right.
Doesn't know how to feed himself. And he needs help. She needs help to get through those first years. And the same thing is with a brand new Christian. It's a brand new lifestyle, hopefully.
Yeah,
and
hopefully.
They need help. And that's what that beginning part is all about. But then you hit a point where you're tested. And the tree cave was an interesting test, because Yoda wanted to see what he would take with him into that tree cave. And so Luke brought his lightsaber.
Ah.
And again, that was part of that conditioning. I would imagine that Yoda wanted him to take nothing in with him.
Right. Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Right. So he took in the lightsaber, cut Vader's helmet off, and then he sees that it's him. Probably a lot of imagery there, but I just want to point out that there will be test and trial. There's actually, we didn't see that in the films, but there was a Jedi trials that they went through probably farther on down the line, and I would imagine right before episode 3 that Anakin did go through the trials. I think it was mentioned in the cartoon.
Yeah.
But the trials is what shows if you are a man or a woman, and that you are mature and you're strong. When you're a baby, you cannot face those trials. And again, we talked about with Palpatine and Anakin that part of Jesus' ministry was that trial. When he faced Satan head on, there is a point where you face a test. When you fail in something in your life, whatever it is, whatever your addictions, whatever your pulls, it doesn't matter. But there will come a day when you will face a test that you failed over and over and over again. But Luke's biggest trial was facing Vader. And the first time, he was whooped like a dog.
Yes, he was.
And there are many of us, me, that are faced with the same test over and over and over again. And we are just whooped up one side and down the other. And the enemy at that point says, I got you again. I got you again. See, you can't lick this. I'm licking you. I've licked you.
Right.
You
right.
are too weak.
Don't even think about getting up.
Right. So, but then the second time he faced Vader, he
things
succeeded.
Are a little different. That's right.
And he also redeemed him. So see, that was, it's important to see that there will be times we'll face trials in our life that we would fail miserably. But then there comes a day, hopefully we've prepared for it, and we'll face that test again.
Well, I think part of it is being able to overcome your fear.
Right.
And in his first battle that he had with Vader, he feared him. And that was his undoing. And the second time he faced him, things were different. He had fallen, he had learned from his mistake, and now it's one of those things where you move on from that. Okay. And he was able to focus on the fact that his father had good in him, and that's what he was going to focus on. He wasn't going to be distracted by the fact that he had failed before.
I think we need to learn, and this is kind of a deep subject, is that people who aren't Christians look on Christians, and I know perhaps we brought it on ourselves with crazy, very vocal televangelists.
Oh, dear.
We struggle with them, too, non-Christians.
Yes.
And they set themselves up as they're better than anybody else. And I'm here to tell you that Christians are just saved sinners. That's really
exactly
all we are. We make mistakes. We fail.
And the real ones will admit that.
Again, right. And Luke learned about failure. And also, he learned about looking at things for what they were and not really at what God can do in a certain situation. But the X-Wing that he couldn't raise using the Force.
Right.
Now, obviously, we don't levitate objects. We talked about that before. But there are things in our life that, in our own strength, we cannot do. It is impossible for us to. For instance, if you're hooked on drugs or you're an alcoholic or you're something like that,
exactly
on your own strength, you cannot beat that.
No.
But if you, perhaps using, or you're in AA, God is a part of AA. And
yes,
with God's help, you can. It's not an easy process, and sometimes it doesn't work for people. But God is available to help you make good decisions. And sometimes little good decisions turn into a final licking of the problem.
Right.
Now, sometimes you fall later, but at least you know what you need to do. And once you figure that out...
And next time you fall, maybe it's not going to be so far. No, so far. You'll find then that you're more stumbling than you are taking a full-on header into a pit that's open and you can see no bottom. Because he's there to catch us when we fall.
I think the Christian walk is movement. As long as you're moving, if you're falling, you're standing up.
Right.
You're moving forward. And if you fall back, move forward. Keep moving. If you stay still, you're not growing. E.T. Let's talk about E.T. Extraterrestrial.
That was my favorite movie when I was a little girl.
Okay.
I love that.
So what kind of biblical themes or God themes or whatever?
Wow, you know, I never thought about E.T. on that level before.
The guest host is for Clint, people. Okay. E.T., to my feelings, is a retelling of the story of Jesus. E.T. comes to Earth. He is perceived, misunderstood by the people. He comes to a child. They take him in. Say they took him into their heart, perhaps, in their life. E.T. teaches him about his world, and, you know, Elliot teaches him about his world, that's fine. E.T. says he's got to go back. He's got to go home. And
Elliot's
that time,
like, why? Where are you going? Are you going to come back?
Right?
Yeah.
Elliot hurts himself. And E.T. heals him.
Right.
And E.T. dies.
For him.
And the people that were around him really never realized really what impact that he had on their life. And then he comes back to life. And what's interesting when he comes back to life is he brings life to the people around him, to the plants that were around him. He brings life.
Right.
And at the end, Elliot's there waiting, and they all say their goodbyes, and he understands how sad Elliot is, and he says, I'll be right here.
In your heart.
In your heart.
That's right.
And then at the end, he ascends back to where he came. And I think that it's a good thematic story that, again, we're talking about someone sitting down writing a story about an extraterrestrial.
Right.
But I think that there are themes that we could pull out of there and say, well, they really come together and point me to the scripture.
Well, yeah, I can totally see them. And I completely agree with you after you said that.
Another family. A I also want to talk about Pay It Forward. Definitely there are themes in the film that probably make my grandmother nervous. Okay. But I want to talk overall about the theme of the film. I think this film really surprised me by its what should be happening in the life of Christians, but people.
Right.
Is that early in the film, someone has a car accident, and someone runs up and hands them keys to a car and points to the car and says, "Pay it forward." And as the film runs out, the person finds out that paying it forward means that something good happens to you. You do something good for someone else, and you pay it forward. So that the thought is that if you keep doing it, it's going to work its way back around.
Right.
And to me, again, it's a bit of an offbeat film, but these are the type of films that I think are really going to have impact.
I agree.
Fantastic, fantastic film.
I
don't know who wrote the film. I don't know what their life is all about, but I'm telling you, if we had more films like this, it would be, I think, a different world.
There is definitely more where that came from. This was just the beginning portion of this conversation that we had about finding God in Star Wars. Next time, we're going to be talking about finding the devil and demonic activity that is reflected in the themes and visuals of film. And that's very interesting. And we also have some comments later on in other parts about Christian entertainment. You do not want to miss any of these parts. They're very, very interesting and relevant to today. And I'm quite sure it's going to spurn a lot of conversations and a lot of discussions. And as always, you can reach me by email, jeff.roney, that's jeff.roney@gmail.com. Or you can visit our new home, which is jrd-now.com. That's a new place that we're putting up new information, and that's where you can download Tatooine TV if you'd like. We're going to be shifting over Revenge of the Socks there, and also Roney's Own Radio. You can still, at this point right now, still go to jrdonline.com, but jrd-now.com will have forums where we can discuss things in depth and also a blog. So I hope to see you there, and I will be talking to you next time. If you haven't already donated to the Katrina relief effort, please donate now. And please donate in 3 months, because the people that have lost their homes, their clothes, their furniture, need help later too. Thank you.
Roney Zone Radio.